enjoy the show.
Yo.
So this week's episode, we're going to be exploring and diving into, we'll call it like non-possessive relating. Yeah, relating from a space of freedom rather than grasping. But I think something important to speak about that I actually didn't bring up in the episode, but it came to me afterwards, is this really beautiful model that differentiates codependence, independence, and interdependence. And at any given point, a relationship can, or like two people within a connection could move in and out of any of these, or it might be that they spend more time in one of them, or I have some relationships that are more one than the other. But we'll look at it like this. Codependence is somewhat like enmeshment. It's like a losing of my sense of self within my desire to get my needs met by somebody else. So it's like I need your validation so much that I lose my sense of self within connection. So we'll say maybe it's falling out of my center, like leaning in so far that I'm not stably standing. We all, many of us probably have had the experience of like checking a phone for a text every like 2 minutes, waiting for somebody to message. So another way of thinking of codependence is needing somebody else to act a certain way for me to feel happy or sad. So somebody else's behavior is very much impacting my emotional state. Is like a good clue for codependence for me. Another way is like giving away my power. Independence is almost the opposite. Let's say it's like leaning farther out. So I'm not wanting to rely on anybody else. I'm fully caring for myself and I'm not emotionally available for the other person. So in some ways it's like, ironically, it's all, in some ways, giving my power away too, because I'm leaning out and I'm taking care of myself to the degree at which I'm not able to rely on others. This would look like even if I like had a roommate, let's say, or if I had somebody I was living with and like not messaging and like not really contacting them or not letting them know I'm leaving somewhere or I'm coming back. It's like it's almost like we don't have a relationship. And then interdependence is almost like a sweet spot in the middle, which is like, what does it look like to continue to make plans and share desires and stay connected to somebody while still remaining autonomous and honoring that each one of us is our own unique person beyond my connection I have with somebody. And that's kind of where we're going to focus today. I think where today's episode comes from is somehow in response to the narrative of codependence in our world, that it seems like a lot of media and films and even like role models, at least in my life, somehow gave the picture that a healthy relationship was actually maybe what is I would consider like a codependent relationship. So in some ways, this is a response to that. And we're going to dive in today into, non-possessive relating. And what does that mean? So welcome. Thank you. Thank you for being here. And we'll start the episode fresh in about 2 seconds. Welcome back. We have another podcast. My creative juice is arriving. I just recorded a 20-minute episode and I forgot to turn on the microphone as I got this new fancy microphone that is electronic. And here we are. So I want to see if I can recreate the episode without memorizing what I said. And I think that'll be exciting. So, welcome back. Thank you for being here. I have lots of different topics that I talk about on this show, but they all kind of like come into a similar realm around whatever mind expansion and new perspectives and alternative dot dot dot. And this one's around relating. I talk about relating a lot as well. For those who have been listening, you know that. For those who haven't, then listen to my other episodes. There's plenty on relating. But what's really beautiful that I want to somehow acknowledge within myself is the journey that I've had from the beginning of this podcast to now, through all of the conversations and the experiences and the different cultures that I've been to and inquiries that I've been doing. Each of these topics, whether it's relationships or plant medicine and psychedelics, they've all evolved and been refined. And some of these are like really tiny little tweaks that make a really big difference. So I'm hoping that today's episode will be kind of like the next refinement in the relational world with Bodhi. Maybe that's what this episode will be called. The latest refinement, you know? So in previous episodes, I've often spoken about open relating, polyamory, non-monogamy. And I think there's many reasons why I've spoken about them, other than the fact that I've felt drawn to them during my life, and I've been really excited about them and exploring them. And the other piece of it is that they aren't the norm. I think the norm, it's like I don't really have to explain monogamy so much, even though we could probably go deeply into it, and maybe I will in another episode. But non-monogamy is this kind of still somewhat hidden world, and I wanted to give it space. And I think in these last episodes, what I've been trying to convey, or maybe I said this and maybe I haven't, or as I've been recently speaking to people, I wanted to make it really clear that it's not that polyamory or non, or it's not that I think that non-monogamy or polyamory is in some ways a better form of relating than monogamy. It's just a different structure. It's just a different design. And that might suit somebody, whereas the other one might suit someone else. And somehow today I want to like drop all of that. Because both monogamy and non-monogamy and polyamory and swingers and all of these different designs are ultimately they're designs to support a relationship, to support relating, to give a framework, to give like a map in some ways. And I had a bodywork teacher, Gwyn, who taught me Zen Tai Shiatsu, this really beautiful bodywork modality, a mixture between Thai massage, shiatsu, Zen shiatsu, and osteopathy. And he used to give a quote from Bruce Lee, which was, "Learn the sequence to forget the sequence." And I really love this. It's like, learn the chords so that you can jam. And it seems like there's like somehow this like, I don't know if it's like a natural law of like learning, but it's like somehow you have to like learn the structure of something so that you can like completely break the rules and free flow. Or like before you can free flow, yeah, you need the rules. I literally just said that in a different way. But what I'm really getting at, it's like in some way, it's almost like my mind has to be able to grasp something well enough so that I can like download into my body, and then I can play from my body, my intuition, rather than from my mind. Like as long as my mind is still doing something, I'm not fully free. But my mind has to be able to grasp it before I can get there. Before I can let go of it, I have to have it. Something like this. I have to be able to conceptualize it. And this seems to be the process of something. It's like, and this is why I love design and I love structure, but it's almost like design and structure for the sake of letting it go. And like another way of looking at this is like scaffolding on a building, like the value of building a scaffolding so that when you build the building, then you take down the scaffolding, you don't need it anymore. Or when you go bowling, there's like the bumpers. It's like to support you to eventually not have the bumpers. And it's fascinating because what can happen sometimes is that people will become so dependent on the scaffolding that they'll never take it down and they'll stay there. Or it's so dependent on the bumpers, or so dependent on the structure or the rules or the boundaries or the that they don't actually evolve to the next stage, which is like, oh, I don't need them anymore because they were just there to support me to not need them in a way, to be able to be free. So, in some ways, today I would like to kind of drop the structures. I don't want today to be a conversation between polyamory and monogamy, but ultimately, what I'd like to get to is right below both of those. Might be something that could support either of them, regardless of the relational design that you're in. I want to go like a layer deeper. So today will be an exploration of what I actually really felt embodied in many ways at Tamara, this community in Portugal, this activist community that's researching love and sexuality. They call it free love, but I think that's somehow like really loaded and almost cliche. So instead of that, I want to talk about like non-possessive relating. Like, what would it look like if I didn't own anyone and nobody owned me? I was nobody's and nobody was mine. And it was really fascinating. I had this experience at ISTA, which I might have spoken about in a podcast a couple months ago, or I guess almost a year ago, when I finished this shamanic shadow work container. And there's a woman there that I was attracted to, and I saw her kissing my roommate the night before. And so the next day, I went up to my roommate and I was like, "Hey, I'd like to kiss this girl too, and I'm curious what your thoughts were about this because I saw you guys kissing last night. I didn't want to impose." And he was very sweet and he thanked me. He was like, "Thank you for checking in. I really appreciate that. That was very kind." And then he said something so beautiful. He was like, "But she's a free woman. She can do whatever she wants." And it was so funny because it was just like, it's like, oh yeah, like he's like she like just because we kissed last night doesn't mean she owes me anything. She's a person and I'm just a person and we kissed. You don't have to ask me. And it was beautiful. Like and again, there's the point of this isn't about like, cool, I don't need to check in with anybody before I do anything, but rather. This beautiful kind of thought of like, oh, just because we did this doesn't mean she owes me anything. And I think it's fascinating because I think a lot of us have had the experience. Sometimes I'll talk to somebody as I'm living here at Engsbacka right now, which is like a highly relational place, and I find a lot of people find it very difficult because when they're relating with somebody and then they see them cuddling with somebody else. Then it brings up all this jealousy or insecurity. And it's funny, like I'll be talking to them in that experience. And I always come to the same picture, which is like, let's say that I saw a random person kissing another person. I'd be like, great. Or if I saw one of my best friends, my friend Daniela, who I love, saw her kissing someone, I would, and afterwards I would walk up and be like, high five, that was great. Like, you kissed someone, that's great. Are you excited about it? And I would celebrate. But then all of a sudden, there's this line where it's like, okay, then if Daniela and I kiss the next day, we had this like amazing kissing session. And then the next day, if I start kissing someone, would I still be like celebrating her or would I be like, wait, what? She should be kissing me, or she just kissed me, or she this, or she that. And it's fascinating because there seems to be like this point for everyone where it's like all of a sudden I'm like not cool with this person doing things. It's like I have some people in my life where they're like totally free to do whatever they want. It doesn't make me upset or throw me out of my center. But then all of a sudden, if we like either do an activity together, or if some type of something happens, now I really care about what they're doing. And I don't want them to do some things, especially with some people. And it's really funny because it's like I'll be sitting, you know, let's say I had this really beautiful intimate interaction with somebody the night before, and the next day I see them cuddling and is bringing something up in me. I'll just sometimes do a thought experiment where I'll ask myself, like, what if I actually didn't know her at all? What if I didn't know this person at all, and I was just watching some random person cuddling or kissing with another random person? Would I still be, like, activated or triggered or insecure? So it's like, what is that? What is that that shifts where all of a sudden I want to limit what this person does, or I want to possess this person, or I want to keep this person for me, you know, whatever, or I'm threatened now that this person will go away. And it's fascinating because the inquiry that I'm in right now is that some people in my life, no matter what we do together, I don't get that. Like, I don't ever have that. Like, we can have sex or be living together or say I love you to each other, and then they can do that with other people and it doesn't bother me at all. Or they can come and go as they want freely. And then there's some people, even I don't even have to kiss them. We could have a really nice conversation one day, and all of a sudden I like want to possess them. There's like a part of me that is like wanting to cling on to them. And this is actually something that I'm researching. And what I've noticed is what I desire to move towards is to invest in the relating, the relationships, the people that I don't feel that I want to own naturally. And the people that even from a distance I feel like I do want to own, maybe I like step away. That's like my exploration right now. So there's a couple of things that come with this. One is like, what would it look like to reveal my hidden expectations of a partner, a friend? And what that would look like is, I saw this therapist a couple of years ago. She was a relationship therapist, and she was inviting me into like the idea that we all have these kind of hidden expectations or conditioned ideas of what a good partner is, or a good mother is, or a good child is. And I want to invite you, and I'm going to do this as well, into this practice of writing down like a good parent or a good partner or a good girlfriend, dot, dot, dot. And get like 15 of them. Some might be conscious, some might be unconscious. And if you have a difficult time figuring it out, think about the times in the past that you've been triggered with your partners or your parents. And then you would be able to see like, oh, they weren't doing that. So this is a good partner. And I'm sure everyone might have different ones depending on where you are in the relating world. Mine might be like a good partner notifies me when they've had sex with someone, so that we can decide if it still feels right to, you know, have unprotected sex. Or a good partner, whatever, is always there for me when I need them. A good partner supports me in my endeavors. Or like, I have a nice one. It's like a good partner doesn't try to keep, you know, hold me and keep me in bed to cuddle in the morning, but like lets me go do yoga. Or even like a good partner like supports me in my yoga practices in the morning, you know? So the invitation is to uncover like what our hidden kind of expectations are around these different roles. And the second piece of this is almost like a thought experiment of what would it look like if I completely dissolve the roles, like this idea of a role. So let's take a little adventure together and go into a thought experiment. So my mother, what if my mother wasn't my mother, but she was just this random woman named Vicky? And one day that woman had a child, gave birth to a person. Maybe this is a better way to say it. That woman gave birth to a person. That person just happened to be me. And I like looked up at her and I was like, "Who are you?" And she's like, "I don't know. I'm this person named Vicky. Who are you?" And I'm like, "I'm just this guy named Bodhi." And she's like, "Nice to meet you. I'd love to help you out on this journey that you're on." And I'm like, "Wow, thank you. That's so kind. I didn't expect this. I didn't expect you to be here." And she's like, "Yeah, I didn't really know who you would be." And I'm like, "Yeah, I didn't know anyone would be here as I was born, and like that's really fucking cool that you are open to helping me out to the degree which feels good for you." You know, and we went through our life together, and there were things that she gave me that were really wonderful, and things that she gave me that, you know, didn't meet my needs. And instead of feeling resentment for that, I actually feel just a lot of gratitude for all that she gave me, because she totally didn't have to do any of that. She was just a random person. And she didn't owe me anything. But she actually gave a lot. So the same is with the people that I love. Like, what would it look like to feel gratitude for the time that we shared together rather than expecting more because they are my girlfriend and a good girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. So it's almost like, what if this person actually wasn't my girlfriend, but they were just a random person that I met one time, and then we vibed, and then we started hanging out, and then there was a certain point where I claimed them. It's like, wait, that's not yours. That's not anyone's. That's a person that has a whole life, that had a whole life before they met you. So the exploration that I'm in is like, what would it look like if my relationships were based upon like a simple like agreement that it like we're both doing what we want to do. And sometimes that means that we're next to each other, let's say like hanging out. And sometimes that means that we're not next to each other. And either way, we both know we're doing what we want to do. And that is wonderful because that means that we're both actually like happy. And it's interesting because it's like, in some ways, like my highest form of relating, I call it like homies. But another form, sometimes like it's almost like roommates. Like roommates that I'm really good friends with are like a really good example of this too, where it's like I'm like hanging out at the house and then one of my roommates comes home. And we hang out for a couple of hours, and it's just like really, really great and effortless and lovely. And they're like, "Hey, I'm gonna go out with some friends." And I'm like, "Cool, see you later, man." And then I'm going to do my thing, and then another roommate comes in, and we're chatting for a bit. And I'm like, "Hey, I'm gonna go run." And they're like, "See you later." And it's this like really open, fluid like connections that it's like, oh, I'm here and hanging out with you when it feels like I wanna be. And then when I wanna go do something else, I'm doing something else. And we're all, it's like none of us are dependent upon each other. Rather, we're like independent people that are sharing time when it feels really right and supporting each other when it feels right. And this I've experienced like so much magic. And actually, my mother and I have this relationship where we're actually like, we just actually like each other and we talk when it works for both of us. And if either for either one of us it doesn't work, then it's almost like there's this un I mean there's a spoken rule where it's like we only talk when it feels right. And if it doesn't feel right for you, then I don't want you to be there. Like, 'cause when I really ask myself this question, it's like, even if I really want to hang out with her, the truth is I don't really want to hang out with her if she doesn't truly want that as well. If it's not mutual. Even if we said we'd hang out, I wouldn't want her to honor her previous commitment if she didn't truly want to be here in this moment. So in some ways, like it's like the homies, like what a homie is for me is like a person in my life where we care more about each other's happiness and well-being than like getting to spend time with each other. Or like I'm more interested in both of us being, or like in them being happy than them giving me something. And in that, it's like we only spend time when it actually truly feels right. And I think if that really is the case, for that to happen, there needs to be some level of like checking in with each other on a regular basis of just like, hey, you still want to be here? They're like, yeah, I do. Do you still want to be here? And I'm like, actually, dude, I'm exhausted. I'm gonna go take a nap. And they're like, great, thanks for taking care of yourself. And like, in some ways, this is like the ideal, like for me. This is like an ideal, which is like what would it look like if we were all supporting our own and our and each other's freedom? What would relationships look like if I was really, really felt free from the other person to do what felt right for me? What I've experienced is it leads to such a deep sincerity and genuineness. That we both know that we really want to be there, and that's why we're there. Because if we didn't want to be there, we wouldn't be, and that's totally great. So in some ways, like this is the invitation to like explore this idea of like what would it look like if I didn't like try to cling or hang on to those around me. But actually just like allow them to be. And supported them being in their truth rather than what I want. And it's not always easy. In some ways, there is a need or like a deep there must be like a deep yearning for truth over than getting what I want. Because if this is really the case, then sometimes it means I won't get what I want. I won't get what I want because the other person doesn't truly want to be there, and they'll say like, "No, I don't actually want to be there," and I might feel sadness. And that sadness can still be there with a support of like, "Wow, I actually really appreciate you telling me, and I wouldn't want you to be here if you didn't want to be. And so I'm glad, and I'll see you when it feels right, whenever that is." And I think like this beautiful metaphor, which I know I've spoken about before, but it's like you'll never know if a bird in a cage truly wants to be there. And on the other side, if there is no cages and the people that I love can just come and go, what I found is a lot of the times they would come back because they want to, because it's a place where they don't have to do anything. It's like freedom and love are so deeply intertwined. And it's interesting because I actually believe that attachment isn't part of love. It's almost like attachment and fear and then freedom and love. And when I say attachment, it's funny because then it gets into this whole psychological model of attachment. Well, okay, attachment theory, and because I think some attachment's healthy. I've had this conversation many times. But maybe a simpler form of when I say attachment, because this is also a very strong and loaded word, it's like a grasping or a trying to control or a hidden expectation or a. Yeah, trying to control is a really beautiful way to think about it. So yeah, what would it look like if my, you know, if I wasn't trying to control the people around me? And in that, it's like the relational models are now no longer relevant almost. And even in general, I suppose like commitment isn't really relevant. But if you're like really, really listening,
Yeah, where do I truly want to be right now? What's truly right for right now? It might mean that you might end up, it doesn't mean that you don't end up living with people. I lived with a very dear friend of mine for 9 years, but it wasn't like, hey, let's live together for 9 years. It was like, yeah, this feels right for me right now. Yeah, this feels right for me right now. And there was like a constant checking in every month, every couple weeks. Does this still feel right? Yeah, this feels really good. And then there was a period after 9 years that we separated. I was like, yo, actually, I want to go this way. And there's a huge grief that happened. It was so beautiful and so sad and devastating in a way. Like, fuck, man, this is the end of our line together for a period of time. I don't know how long that would be or what that would look like. Did we see each other again? Yes. Are we still good friends? Absolutely. Do we see each other every day? No. It's like we had a natural season together that looked a certain way. And in that sense, what was beautiful about Tamara is they also talked about partnership. It's not that partnership can't happen without commitment. It's a partnership still happens. It just looks different. It just happens for the true amount of time, for the project that you're working on together. It arises naturally. And I see that in my life too. Like, there are partnerships that arise naturally in my life. And then they fade naturally at different times. Or they evolve. And this doesn't mean not having desires. This doesn't mean not having boundaries. It's funny, like, maybe this will be the last piece that I say, but there are. I've heard of, like, lots of different circles where they talk about boundaries and consent, and these are incredible practices. But there seems to be this somehow misinterpretation of what boundaries means. And I think some people are like, oh, my boundary is that you don't kiss other people. And it's like, that's not a boundary, that's like a demand or maybe a request. And requests are totally fine. Like, they're, yeah, of course, request. A demand is when I'm like, it's not really a request anymore. It's like, I'm demanding this. A boundary is actually based on how the people around me are, or the environment around me is, how do I want to show up? Or what does my distance need to be? Or what am I available versus not? So it might be like, it might be like, yo, if we kiss, like, if you are kissing someone else, then I don't want to kiss. That's my boundary. It's like, actually, like, I'm not open for kissing if you're kissing other people. But you can totally kiss other people. Or you can, like, and you can totally choose. If you want to kiss me, that's just, like, where I'm comfortable with. And if you want to kiss other people, that's totally fine. I'm still down to be friends. I just don't want to be kissing. Or if, like, if you are doing this with others, or if you are showing up like this, then this is where I need to kind of care for myself, or step back, or step forward, or step in, or step out. So this doesn't mean not having boundaries. But what it looks like is, like, when nobody is my anything, and I'm just kind of allowing people to be themselves, and instead of trying to control them, I'm actually just choosing how I want to relate to each person based on how they naturally are. And in that, I can share my desires. In that, I can share my requests. But what I notice is when I share my requests and desires, they're so much lighter when I don't have these expectations of these other people. And a beautiful example, I honestly, one of my favorite human beings in the world, she'll be going through really tough. It's so beautiful. Like, our relationship really thrives because of this, like, lack of expectation that the other one should or needs to show up in a certain way. And we actually just love each other. And so sometimes she'll go through some really difficult things. And she'll message me or she'll call me, and it's so beautiful. She's like, listen, I don't have any expectations that you'll be able to hold space for me, or that you'll be able to support me. But if you do have some time, I would really love that. And sometimes I do, and sometimes I'm like, dude, I love you so much, I really don't have the capacity. And she's like, okay, I love you so much, I'll check in with somebody else. And it's so beautiful because it's like, no matter what state we're in, there's still not an expectation. There's still not like an you owe me. There might be a I would love that, or this would feel really great. But it's a very different energy than I deserve this because you're my friend, boyfriend, mother, blah, 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 blah. It's almost like respecting that the person is actually is a person first. Before you and after you. Before you came into their life and after you will leave their life, they will still be a whole person. And it's like respecting them as a person rather than as the role that they're playing. So yeah, this might be food for thought. I know there's probably like a million things that happen during this episode where you're like, well, what about this? Well, like, how would you navigate that? And my invitation is to explore. Or I'll write a question after the podcast episode and I'll like post it. People can write stuff on Spotify. So yeah, this is the food for thought today. Like relating without possessiveness, relating without expectation, or without hidden expectations. What would it look like if I didn't own anybody and nobody owned me? That we were all just free beings walking around, sharing time together when it felt right. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, everybody. Sending you a bunch of love wherever you are. Thank you for listening. You don't have to listen to this. No matter who you are, no matter if you said you would listen. Yeah, I trust that if you made it this far, that it's out of your own volition. I hope you enjoyed. And I'll see you soon on the next show. Thank you.